الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا. All praise due to Allah, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send His peace and His blessings and to exalt the mention of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his companions and all those who follow them on their righteous path until the day of judgment. Brothers and sisters in Islam, I thank you for attending the second class in the book titled Sharh Usul al-Iman, Explanation of the Fundamentals of Faith, Shaykh bin Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala. And I will be questioning you regarding last week's session to see who has some things memorized, but I will wait for the brothers who are doing salah to leave. In the meantime, I will remind you of the last thing that we discussed, which was the statement pertaining to our belief in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is basically believing in whatever he has brought while accepting and submitting. And we said it is not enough to believe if it does not translate into actions. And we gave the example of Satan, Iblis. And we said that Iblis, he was up in the heavens worshipping Allah, so he believes in Allah. He was with the angels, so he believes in the angels. He believes in the messengers. He believes in the books. He was trying to distort them. He believes in the day of judgment. He knows he's going to the hellfire. And sure enough, he believes in the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So although he has the six pillars of faith, we cannot consider him to be a believer, because that belief or that knowledge of his did not translate into submission. When he was asked to prostrate to Adam, what did he do? Did he obey or disobey? He disobeyed. What was his ideology? He was arrogant. He said, I am better than him. خَلَقْتَنِي مِن نَارٍ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِن طِينٍ. You made me out of hellfire. You created me from fire. And you created Adam from clay. And in his mind, fire was better than clay. So he wound up accusing Allah of asking him for the wrong thing. Basically, indirectly telling Allah, that was the wrong order. How could you ask me to prostrate to Adam, although I am made out of fire and Adam is made out of clay? This is what made him a kafir. Otherwise, we said it is not just a sin, because Adam also sinned. So then the idea is about belief, even whether it is in La ilaha illallah or in Muhammadun Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is inevitable and it's a must that that belief should translate into submission, into action. So when you say, I believe that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah, and then you oppose him in every aspect of his life, in everything that he did, whether inwardly or outwardly, we're on different pages. Does that mean that our belief is proper? Not all the way. There are some shortcomings that need to be fulfilled. True belief is following everything that came from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. طيب, now that the brothers praying are less, who could remind us? And I wish for you brothers who are attending to try to, after taking notes, to memorize some of the evidences that are used if you ever want to give da'wah, if you ever want to invite people to Islam. The only tools that you have are the textual evidences. Of course, some intellect, the ability to strike examples and things of the sort. But mainly, evidences. We said in the last class that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will only accept Islam as a religion. Can anyone give us the evidence from the Quran? Al-Imran. What? Verse 19. What does it say? Well, there's two different ones now. In the Deen and Allah, Islam, the religion in the sight of Allah is Islam. But what is this one is correct. There's another one that is very specific, like cannot be interpreted, because they may tell you, and maybe there are other religions also on the side of Allah. What is the evidence that is clear cut? وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِي غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Whosoever desires a religion other than Islam, it will never be accepted of him, and in the hereafter he will be among the losers. You cannot deny that, you cannot dispute that, you cannot argue with that. It is a clear verse, like the sun. Any religion other than Islam will not be accepted by Allah. This particular one is in Surah Al-Imran, verse 85. The one that our brother mentioned was the إِنَّ الدِّينَ عَنْدَ اللَّهِ الْإِسْلَامِ. Verily, the religion in the sight of Allah is Islam. طيب بارك الله فيك. Moving on, the Shaykh رحمه الله said, والدين الإسلامي متضمن لجميع المصالح التي تضمنتها الأديان السابقة. The religion of Islam encompasses all of the other goodness and virtues that the previous religions encompassed. Whatever they had, Islam also has and more. لا نعم متميز عليها بكونه صالحا لكل زمان ومكان وأمة. That which distinguishes Islam from the rest of the religions, it is that Islam is suitable for every time, for every place, and for every group of people, every nation. And this is very important. This is known as the universality of Islam. Because all other religions have a problem. Just to strike an example, Christianity. You speak to a Christian and you tell him, what is the thing, what is your belief? I mean, what is the thing that would permit you to paradise? He will tell you the belief in the death of the Son of God on the cross. That Jesus, peace be upon him, Isa al-Masih, he was crucified, and his blood was shed as an atonement for the sins of anyone who believes in him. Anyone who believes in his death on the cross, this is your key to Jannah. You do good deeds, it doesn't matter. You can do good deeds, you can leave it alone. You can be truthful, you can leave it alone. Everything else does not matter in your life. It's all voluntary. If you want to be a nice person, that's good. But in essence, it is simple belief that Jesus died on the cross for your sin. This is your key to paradise. Any Christian will tell you that. So then you turn around. Now this is the da'wah here. You turn around and say, okay, if this is the case, how long ago did Jesus come? Huh? How long ago, brothers, did Jesus come to this earth? According to the Christians, 9 years ago. That's why we're here, 2009. That 2009, the Gregorian calendar, is because of the advent of Jesus. Islamically, the Hijrah of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, so we are the year 1430. To them, this is when it happened. So 2008 years ago, Jesus was around, and according to them, he was crucified, and thus he became the salvation. Then you ask this Christian, if belief in the death of Jesus on the cross is the key to paradise, then what was the belief system of the millions of people in the millions of years who came before Jesus? They will never be able to answer. What are they going to say? Either they say that their belief system was something else. They did not have to believe in the death of the Son of God, quote unquote, on the cross. Then we will say that this religion is not universal. It is local for a certain people during a certain time. If they say that they had to believe in Jesus, we say, how? Jesus does not even exist according to you. So they will never be able to give you a satisfactory answer, because that religion is not universal, it is not suitable for every time and every place, because it's fabricated. It's the thoughts of human beings. So this is the counter question. What was their belief system? They don't know. And anytime you ask a Christian, he will probably be thinking about this for the first time in his life. And he will look for an answer and he will tell you, I'm just a regular Christian, you have to ask my priest. You have to go to church, I don't know. Say, okay, so how is your belief, what kind of belief system is that where you don't know the most fundamental of things? These are just signs and indications in case you ever come across a Christian. So you will let them understand at least that there's a problem in what he believes. Then you can lead him on to Islam, inshaAllah. طيب قال الله تعالى مخاطبا رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وأنزلنا إليك الكتاب بالحق مصدقا لما بين يديه من الكتاب ومهيمنا عليه. In Surah Al-Ma'idah, the table spread or the table, verse 48. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says interpretation of the meaning in English to the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. And we have sent down the book upon you, O Muhammad, in truth, confirming that which has come before from the scriptures, like the Old Testament, the Torah of Moses, and the Gospel of Jesus, which we do not have today. The Bible that they have out there is not the Gospel of Jesus. Actually, if you open it, it will say the Gospel according to Mark, Matthew, John, Luke, you know, human beings. Gospel according to them. And you know, the Old Testament, supposedly the books of the that were given to Moses, all of them have contradictions, and none of them could, we could say that this is the book of Moses or this is the book of Jesus, peace be upon them. There may be some traces from the teachings which we use against them to prove that there's la ilaha illallah, but other than that they are not reliable sources. So Allah says that He has sent down the book upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to confirm what was sent before, and as a criterion over it, muhaiminan, predominant. It is the reference, it is the asad, the principle that we refer to. Whatever the Quran confirms and the Sunnah, we accept. Whatever they reject, we reject. Whatever they do not mention, we do not accept or reject. We say Allahu A'lam. Just in case it was the truth, we wind up belying it. And just in case it's falsehood, we wind up accepting it. So the ruling is, if there's nothing in Islam that speaks about something that the Jews or the Christians mention, then we leave it alone. We don't say this is haqq, and we don't say this is batil, unless we have an evidence from the Quran and the Sunnah. So this is what is intended by the criterion, meaning it is used as the asl, and everything else is a backup. طيب ومعنى قوله صالحا لكل زمان ومكان وأمة أن التمسك به لا ينافي مصالح الأمة في أي زمان. The Shaykh said, what is intended that Islam is suitable for every place, for every time, place and nation. Forgive me. For every time, place and nation is the fact that if the Muslims were to adhere to the teachings of Islam, then Islam will never go against the welfare of the human need. We must understand this properly. If the Muslims were to adhere to the teachings of Islam from the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam until the day of judgment, there is nothing in Islam that will go against, that will be a cause of difficulty in our daily lives. Rather, adhering to Islam is suitable for every time, for every place, and for every nation, because Islam has laid foundations. Everything in Islam has a foundation, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with His ultimate wisdom knew and decreed the things that will come into existence which did not come at the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For example, smoking. Someone will say, Islam is not suitable for every time and place because there's smoke, you know, this new thing, cigarettes, and there's no ayah that says do not smoke, no hadith that says you should leave alone smoking. So how do you say that Islam treats all the problems of the world? Although we have many new inventions that are not mentioned in Islam. So we tell this individual, you have a wrong understanding of Islam. If you're going to look for a straight evidence for everything that will come, you will need books and books, thousands of books, to enumerate everything that will come into existence until the Day of Judgment. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala laid down foundations. وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Do not kill yourselves. This is the only verse that you need as a foundation. Anything that will come from that time until the Day of Judgment which will cause you to die is haram. You see, you don't need a verse that says do not smoke. You don't need a hadith. You just need something that is a foundation, a principle in which we apply all of the new inventions that come up in this life of ours. So Islam is suitable then for every time, for every place, and for every nation. Anyone who decides to embrace Islam, is set aright and will be a person who's traveling upon the path of guidance in every one of our behaviors, even that things that deal with eating and drinking and relieving ourselves, treatment of the wives and the children with all the shortcomings that we have. If we were to apply what Islam teaches, we will never go astray. But the problem is that the Muslims' adherence to the teachings of Islam are weak. We are weak in our adherence. Likewise, the people have thought that Islam is not suitable because of our actions, not because of the teachings. The teachings are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and befitting for every person, place and time. The Shaykh said, وَلَيْسَ مَعْنَ ذَلِكَ أَنَّهُ قَاضِعٌ لِكُلِّ زَمَانٍ وَمَكَانٍ وَأُمَّا كَمَا يُرِيدُهُ بَعْضُ النَّاسِ. And that does not mean that Islam shall be serving a group of people or a group of during a particular time or a particular place, as some people try to do it, which is known as modernism. Maybe you've heard this term before, maybe you have not heard this term before. Modern Muslims, modernism, basically the concept of customizing Islam, just like a thawb. You know, you go to the tailor and you know, you ask him how long the sleeve should be, the kind of pocket that you want, the length of the thawb, and everything that you want, customize according to your own will. Some people do the same thing with Islam. Yeah? They try to make it fit according to their own intellect. Whatever they think is good, they say we will accept. Whatever they think is not befitting because they live in some culture, specifically some of our brothers and sisters in the West, may Allah rectify our condition and theirs. Those who wind up living in the West go through many more difficulties than the brothers living over here. I mean, you get to practice Islam freely here. Alhamdulillah. No one harasses you. They go through some harassment over there. So some of them who are not strong in faith, they wind up giving up some of the teachings of Islam in order to please the non-Muslims. And this is how they wind up customizing Islam, and they claim that Islam is fit. They say Islam is suitable for all time, so we can take something out and we can add something in because Islam is suitable. The Shaykh said, this is not what is intended. Don't twist things around. Islam is suitable for the people according to the way it was revealed. According to the foundations, you implement them to the best of your ability. If you have shortcomings, you admit. Say, yes, Islam teaches that, and I'm unable to do it because I'm scared. But to come and change the deen of Allah, and then say that this is part of the teaching of Islam, this is when we are actually going astray. So we need to be careful of that, inshallah. If you ever go elsewhere, I hope that you stay here, inshallah. والدين الإسلامي هو دين الحق الذي ضمن الله تعالى لمن تمسك به حق التمسك أن ينصره ويظهره على من سواه. The Shaykh said, the religion of Islam is the religion of truth, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guaranteed that anyone who adheres to it, in the ultimate sense, that Allah will give him aid and victory, and Allah will make the Muslims victorious over other nations. قال الله تعالى هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون. In Surah As-Saff, verse 9, Allah says, interpretation of the meaning in English, it is He who has sent His messenger with the guidance and the religion of truth, so it may be victorious over all other religions, even if the disbelievers may hate it. So Allah promised that Islam will be victorious. But then again, we were just making dua in Salatul Isha for the victory of the Muslims who are not victorious. So if one may ask, is there a contradiction over there? Is there a contradiction between the promise of Allah and the actual reality of the Muslims? No, there isn't. But we will see in the coming verse why we are in this predicament and why this verse is not currently applicable to us in this day and time. وقال تعالى وعد الله الذين آمنوا منكم وعملوا الصالحات ليستخلفنهم في الأرض كما استخلف الذين من قبلهم وليمكنن لهم دينهم الذي ارتضى لهم وليبدلنهم من بعد خوفهم أمنا يعبدونني لا يشركون بي شيئا ومن كفر بعد ذلك فأولئك هم الفاسقون. Now listen to this, brothers and sisters in Islam. Allah says in the Quran, Allah promised those who believed among you and did righteous deeds that He will make them, give them succession on earth. He will give them succession, meaning control on earth. The same way He gave succession to the nations who came before them. And then He will allow them to practice the religion. Allah will give them the ability to practice, the authority to practice the religion that He is pleased with. Keyword. The religion of Islam that Allah is pleased with. Not the one that we have come up with. Not the innovations that we have added and the obligations we have abandoned. Not that one. Rather the Islam that Allah is pleased with, which is what the Prophet Muhammad and his companions were practicing. Now are we practicing what they're practicing? No. So we are not getting the aid that they were getting. We are not getting the victory that they were getting. Nonetheless, we don't despair from the mercy of Allah. This does not mean that we should give up and despair from the mercy of Allah. This should be means of encouragement. As we mentioned before, that you and I would strive to make our children among those who would practice Islam the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with. So the victory and the aid from Allah will return to the Muslims. If it is not through us immediately, at least through our progeny, our descendants, our children who will come after us, bi-idhnillah. So the religion that Allah is pleased with, and Allah will replace them after fear with security, providing that they worship me alone and they associate none in worship with me. Now how many Muslims are committing shirk? How many of our brothers and sisters who are still within the folds of Islam are committing shirk today all over the world? So Allah says that this only will happen. Succession will be given on earth and the authority to practice the religion of Islam will be given on the condition providing that we worship Allah alone and we associate none in partners with Him. Muslims today fall into shirk, whether with their verbal expressions or with their belief system or with their ibadat, their worship, in every aspect except those whom Allah has given knowledge and understanding and those whom Allah has given mercy. Otherwise, many of the Muslims are practicing shirk. So what do we need to do about this, my brothers and sisters in Islam? We need to educate ourselves about Tawheed and learn about shirk. So we will warn our people about the Tawheed and the importance of implementing it in our lives and warn them from shirk and how it will destroy the Muslims and a person's life in this life and in the hereafter. And this is what this book deals with. Bi-idhnillah Azza wa Jal, the concept of Tawheed and how to have Tawheed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not to associate anything in worship with Him. وَمَنْ كَفَرَ بَعْدَ ذَٰلِكَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ. And whosoever disbelieves after that, then verily those are the evildoers. This is in Surah An-Nur, verse 55. The Shaykh went on to say, this is important for da'wah, if you are among those who invite to Islam. الدين الإسلامي عقيدة وشريعة فهو كامل في عقيدته وشرائعه. The deen of Islam is comprised of two things. Aqidah, creed, belief system. Things that are non-tangible. Not something that you can touch. Not something that you can see. It is something that is located in your heart on the belief that we have in the six pillars of Iman. And also law, legislation, the do's and the don'ts, the commandments, the obligations, the prohibitions, the things that are recommended, the things that are disliked, the things that are allowed, the five things as the fuqaha have divided them. These are all part of the sharia, the law, or the legislation of Islam. So two things, belief system and legislation. Aqidah, creed and legislation. Tayyib. Among the things that Islam enjoins, يَأْمُرُ بِتَوْحِيدِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَيَنْهَى عَنِ الشِّرْكِ. Islam enjoins the belief in the oneness and the uniqueness of Allah and prohibits shirk, which is ascribing or associating partners with Allah. Secondly, يَأْمُرُ بِالصِّدْقِ وَيَنْهَى عَنِ الْكَذِبِ. Islam enjoins truthfulness and it prohibits lying and falsehood. Thirdly, يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَيَنْهَى عَنِ الْجُورِ. Islam enjoins justice and it forbids injustice and oppression. Now I want to make a little comment here that the Shaykh rahimahullah mentioned. Some people say Islam deenul musawat. Islam is a religion of equality. Is this correct or incorrect? Huh? Correct or incorrect? Incorrect. Why is it incorrect? Can you give me an example? Anyone, raise your hand, don't be shy. You can have shy when you go back home. Huh? Yes, sir. But yet, give me an example, why not equality?
Because equality means that everybody should get necessarily right to deserve.
Correct.
So if I have
2 boys, one is older
than the second boy, right. The other one is only 1 year old. I don't have to keep them equal. I don't
have to
buy the same thing.
Correct.
I have to buy
the fairness. Jazakallahu khair. That's exactly what it is. Equality is treating everything, things that are equal, equal. And that's not the case. Is a man equal to a woman? Does Islam give men and women the same things? Huh? No. Yes, if they both believe and do righteous deeds, both are guaranteed Jannah. But is a man equal to a woman? No. الرجال قوامون على النساء. Men are the caretakers and the providers over the woman. So they're not the same. A man is not equal to, is the Muslim, is the believer equal to the kafir? Can you treat your Muslim brother the same way you treat the disbeliever? No. But that is equality. So in the West, when they say equality, meaning they want the straight person equal to the gay, wal-iyadu billah, we don't have that in Islam. Huh? The man equal to the woman. They want everything to be equal. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not make Islam a religion of equality. Allah made it the religion of justice. And justice is that you treat things that are equal, equally. And things that are different, you differentiate between them. So everything has its just law or ruling by Allah. Where, what as the brother mentioned, the children are be, yes, you treat them with justice. But justice may be that you give one other than the other. You don't give your 1 year old, if you buy a computer for your 15 year old son, do you go buy a PC for your 1 year old son? What is he going to do with the computer as 1 year old? You give him a toy. The idea is justice, that you give each one of them a gift. But you're not going to treat them equally. So this is just a concept that we must understand. It is not a religion of equality in the ultimate sense. It is a religion of justice. And part of justice is to give some things and deprive at times. Is to treat men different than women, believers different than disbelievers, the righteous different than the wicked, and what have you. Tayyib. Fourthly, the one who memorizes these will be the champion. Fourthly, يَأْمُرُ بِالْأَمَانَةِ وَيَنْهَى عَنِ الْخِيَانَةِ. Islam enjoins keeping and fulfilling promises, and it forbids treachery, that you betray, in another word. يَأْمُرُ بِالْوَفَاءِ وَيَنْهَى عَنِ الْغَدْرِ. Islam enjoins keeping, fulfilling promises. And it does not allow betrayal. Meaning when you turn around, even with the non-Muslims, even when the non-Muslims, if we have a covenant, يعني a ceasefire, Muslims are not allowed to betray the non-Muslims and attack them, huh? Without them first telling them that there is no longer a covenant between us, as Allah mentioned in the Quran. So justice, no betrayal in Islam, no treachery. 6. يَأْمُرُ بِبِرِّ الْوَالِدَيْنِ وَيَنْهَى عَنِ الْعُقُوبِ. Islam enjoins being dutiful to the parents. And this is for the young kids over here, huh? You must be dutiful to your parents. What does that mean? That means when they tell you to do something, you do not negotiate. If your mother says, go downstairs to the bagala and buy me some milk, there's no objection. No mom, why? Later, I'm tired. I'm playing this game. I'm watching this TV. This is not birr. This is not being dutiful. This is actually being very evil. And Allah will not like you. Allah made this one of the biggest sins after you disbelieve in Allah or associate partners with Him, to be mean and undutiful to your parents. So you should obey them as long as they tell you to obey Allah. And for us who are older, then if you have your parents, then similarly this address is also towards us. And Allah al-musta'an for our shortcomings. So Islam prohibits being undutiful to the parents. 7. يَأْمُرُ بِصِلَةِ الرَّحِمِ وَهُمُ الْأَقَارِبِ وَيَنْهَى عَنِ الْقَطِيعَةِ. Islam enjoins keeping the kinship ties. keeping the kinship ties and not destroying them or severing them. Who knows who are the closest relatives to you? You know, the relatives are actually begin with those who are closest, and then they continue to spread out until you get to those who are not very close to you. Who are the closest to you? Huh? The closest to you among your family. We already speaking about the family. Who are the closest to you?
Parents.
If you have children, then after the parents, your offsprings, your children. Afterwards, huh? Brothers and sisters. Ahsan. So first, parents, then children, then your brothers and sisters, then uncles. Which one? Paternal or maternal? Paternal. Yani from your father's side. Paternal uncles and aunts. Your auntie and your uncle from your father's side. Then maternal uncles and aunts from your mother's side. And then the rest of the family. Because we are commanded to treat them also with justice and with kindness, and to help them financially if we're able to do so. So what if your cousin needs money and your father needs money? If you think that they're all the same, you may go ahead and give your cousin money before you give it to your father. And in reality, this should not be the case. Because the closest to you are your parents, then your children, then your brothers and sisters, then your paternal uncles and aunts, then your maternal uncles and aunts. Everybody got that? If I ask you next week, inshallah, I hope you will have the answer. طيب. And finally, يأمر بحسن الجوار وينهى عن سيئه. Islam commands to enjoins being nice to your neighbor, and it prohibits that you treat them with wickedness. And we are all neighbors here, I think, if we're in the masjid, except those brothers who came from long distance. So we have right upon one another, and may Allah help us fulfill them. I know that we have shortcomings in that as well. The Shaykh said, وعموم القول أن الإسلام يأمر بكل خلق فاضل وينهى عن كل خلق سافل. He says, in general, we say that Islam commands every noble and virtuous character, and it prohibits every ill and despicable character. Now, if you were to sit with a non-Muslim and be able to enumerate this to them, then this will be a great means of da'wah. If you were to memorize this and tell the Muslim, Islam enjoins worshiping Allah alone and prohibits associating partners, being kind to your parents, not being undutiful, being truthful, mentioning all the things that were mentioned, then they will sense in Islam the teachings of Islam. And this may want them to like Islam. It may make them, like Islam. If they see from you the behavior also. Sometimes, may Allah forgive us, speaking about myself first, we wind up going against the teachings. So this will backfire. You're trying to shoot, let's not give that example. You're trying to throw the rock over there and it falls on your head. Huh? Because sometimes you get overexcited and we may do things that go against the very things that we're teaching. So this is the wisdom from Allah that we undergo these particular circumstances. Hopefully we will learn from them a lesson and better ourselves in the future. And no one is free, no one is ma'soom, no one is free from error, no one is infallible except the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَىٰ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ عَفْوًا. The Shaykh made one more statement. وَيَأْمُرُ بِكُلِّ عَمَلٍ صَالِحٍ وَإِنْهَا عَنْ كُلِّ عَمَلٍ سَيِّئٍ. Furthermore, Islam enjoins every righteous deed and it prohibits every evil deed. Allah says in the Quran, إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. You hear this at the usually khutbah al-Jum'ah. Many of the imma use this before they conclude their khutbah, which is in Surah Al-Nahl, verse 90. It says, verily Allah enjoins that you do justice and ihsan. Who can define ihsan? Huh? Ihsan, not someone's name. You know, some brothers are called Ihsan. I don't want this brother Ihsan. I want the definition of Ihsan. Because English, it doesn't do the job. The only English word you can say for Ihsan is goodness. And that's very limited, very, very limited. Ihsan is a lot more than that. And it was actually defined by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And a very famous hadith, Muhammad Anwar al-Fadl. The meaning is correct. Do you remember the hadith? Does anyone know the hadith of Jibreel? When Jibreel? Nah.
When Jibreel, he came to Muhammad,
nah,
as a human being.
Nah.
And he said, do you know what the faith means? He said, faith.
So when he asked about Ihsan,
he said, what's Ihsan is? He said, Ihsan is to worship Allah as if he's watching you. It was not.
As if you're watching him.
Yeah.
Like the actually the evidence is from the hadith of Jibreel, a famous hadith which is narrated by Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu ardah. If you open the book of Arba'in al-Nawawiyyah of Shaykh al-Nawawi rahimahullah, Imam al-Nawawi, this is the second hadith after the hadith of innama al-a'malu bin-niyyat. This hadith is the whole Islam, because Jibreel came in the shape of a man. He asked the Prophet first about Islam. Then he told him about Islam, he asked him about Iman, he told him about Iman, then he asked him about Ihsan. قَالَ الْإِحْسَانِ أَن تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ فَأَنْ لَنْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ فَأَنَّهُ يَرَاكَ. Ihsan is to worship Allah as if you can see Him. And this is the highest level. When you worship Allah as if you can see Him, meaning you are doing it out of love and anxiousness. Huh? You're doing it with desire. You are looking forward to worshiping Allah. And this is the highest level, that Allah knows how far we are from that level. But if you cannot reach that level, then know that Allah watches you. Which is the second level, when you do it out of fear. Huh? Out of shyness. Because you know that Allah is watching you. So the highest level is to worship Allah as if you can see Him with love, with excitement. If you cannot reach that point because of our sins, then at least remember that Allah watches you. So He does not find you in a place where you're not supposed to be. And He finds you in the place that you are supposed to be. For example, during Salah, where are you supposed to be? In the bed? Where in the masjid? In the back over there? In the 7th row, 8th row? 1st row. 1st row. SubhanAllah. This here, this line is the biggest business on earth. Business, tijara, for the hereafter. And it is shocking when some of the brothers come early. Alhamdulillah. May Allah reward them. They come early and they find a post way in the back and they lean against it. And then you hear the imam calling the iqamah and everybody gathered, they're still sitting. Then he just joins the 8th row, 9th row, whatever he finds himself, and he does the salah with the jama'ah. SubhanAllah. Ya'ani, this goes against maybe tens of narrations. Prophet ﷺ said, the worst of rows for men are the back rows. The worst of rows are the back rows. And the best are the front ones. He said, if the people knew about the reward and the virtue of praying in the first row, and they had no choice but to draw lots, yeah, imagine getting a little, you know, a little bucket, and we put our names in there. And every time we want to see who would get the first row, we would pick a name. Say, oh, Abdullah. Allahu Akbar, Abdullah gets the first row. If the people had to do this, if it's the only way they could get to the first row through this means, they would do it. He said that. But you don't have to do that. All you have to do is defeat your shaitan, who will come to you just before the salah time to get you busy with something that is unimportant. And you know what I'm saying. Right at salah time, you'll have free time. The whole time you're sitting at home doing nothing. 10 minutes before the salah, you remember that you're supposed to call someone. So you get on the phone until halfway through the event. Then you remember you have to go to the bathroom. So you run to the bathroom. Then you barely make wudu. Then you run to the masjid and you don't know what you prayed and what you missed and what happened in the salah, and Allah musta'an. Then you go back the same way you were before you came to the masjid. Because that salah did not benefit us in the ultimate sense, as we were promised that the salah would purify our sins and what have you. So this is a reminder for those who are present to take advantage of this business, of this trade with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and be careful of the tricks of the shaitan at the time of the salah. Umar bin Abdul Aziz al-Khalif al-Rasid radiallahu anhu, he said, when the salah time comes, leave alone everything. Abandon everything, because if you are negligent about the salah, then you are more negligent about everything else pertaining to Islam. If you neglect your salah, then don't expect to be good regarding anything else in Islam. And if you read Surah Al-Mu'minun and Surah Al-Ma'arij, how do they both begin? قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. First Allah praised the believers. They have attained success, the believers, those who are submissive in their salah. Then Allah enumerated their qualities. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِضُونَ وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِلزَّكَاةِ فَاعِلُونَ. So forth. Until what was the last thing he said? وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَى صَلَاتِهِمْ يحافظون على صلواتهم يحافظون. Those who maintain and safeguard their prayers. So he mentioned the first thing was the salah. Then many things in between. Then the last thing is in the salah. An indication that the salah is the most important thing and everything else will be good if the salah was good. Same thing in Surah Al-Ma'arij. إِلَّا الْمُصَلِّينَ. When Allah made the exception of the son of Adam who was, you know, created in hurry and he freaks out, you know, he panics whenever, you know, misery, when whatever evil touches him. And he yields on goodness and money whenever he has some. Allah says, إِلَّا الْمُصَلِّينَ. Except those who pray. الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَى صَلَاتِهِمْ دَائِمُونَ. Those who are consistent with their salah. Then again Allah enumerated their qualities and finished it with وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَى صَلَاتِهِمْ يُحَافِظُونَ. Subhanallah. These are all indications about the importance of the salah. And this is what something that we must understand in our lives. Not just understand, implement. Because there's a difference between knowing and understanding and implementing. You may know something but not understand it. You may know and understand something but not implement it. You don't put it into practice. That doesn't benefit you on the Day of Judgment. Actually, it's a proof against you. That knowledge that you have will be a proof against you. What did you do with the knowledge that Allah gave you? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pardon us for our shortcomings. طيب. Arkan al-Islam. The pillars of Islam. أسسه التي ينبني عليها وهي خمسة مذكورة فيما رواه ابن عمر رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال بني الإسلام على خمسة. He said the pillars of Islam, they are the foundations in which Islam was built upon, and they are five. They were mentioned in the hadith of Ibn Umar. Who knows the first name? What was his first name? Ibn Umar. This is his kunya, the son of Umar. What was his first name? Abdullah. Abdullah ibn Umar. Should at least know the name of the companion. But if we mention right now the name of one of the soccer players, some of the brothers will give you his biography. He was born in 1955 in the hospital of something at 3:55 a.m. Subhanallah. You know the time he was also born? Why? What is that going to benefit you on the Day of Judgment? It is not going to benefit anything. So Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, another one is, whose name Abdullah is what? Which one is the other companion who is also named Abdullah? Skinny legs. Abdullah ibn Abbas. And another one, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. When he was picking up something from the tree, some oud, some miswak for the Prophet ﷺ, the wind blew and it exposed his legs, and they were very skinny legs. So some of the companions started, you know, laughing. Of course they're not mocking him, but you know, just like you will have this regular laugh between the brothers. The Prophet ﷺ said, do you laugh about how thin his legs are? Wallahi, they are heavier than the mountain of Uhud in the sight of Allah on the Day of Judgment. These tiny legs, they are heavier than the mountain of Uhud on the Day of Judgment. An indication that size is not going to benefit because of his iman, because of his taqwa. Radiallahu anhu arda, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made this particular expression. Tayyib. What is the first pillar of Islam? Jihad. Ala an yuwahhad Allah. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be singled out in worship. Allah should be singled out in worship. When you worship, you don't dedicate your worship to anyone other than Allah. Whether it is major or minor. Major shirk, such as worshiping other than Allah, like the graves and the dead people and the angels and what have you. Or, you know, believing in that something other than Allah can benefit you or harm you without the permission of Allah. Or minor shirk, such as doing it for showing off, may Allah protect us, for showing off, for attaining a status and things along these lines. Those both kinds of shirk negate tawheed and the shahada. وفي رواية على خم شهادة أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. So to bear witness that none is worthy of worship but Allah. And I remind the brothers and sisters that the correct definition for لا إله إلا الله, the correct translation for la ilaha illallah is, there is no God worthy of worship except Allah. And not, there is no God but Allah. The correct translation of La ilaha illallah, if you're teaching a non-Muslim, you want to give him shahada, you don't tell him there's no God but Allah. You say there's no God worthy of worship. يعني لا معبود بحق إلا الله. There's no God that deserves worship except Allah. Why? Can someone tell me why? Let me ask you a question. Are there other gods with Allah? Yes. Of course there are. There are many. But don't we, they're going to say, what is this? He's teaching us shirk, man. Time out, akhi. Husn al-dhan. Have good assumption about your brother. There are many other gods with Allah, but all of them are false. False gods. Allah called them gods in the Quran. You cannot deny the Quran. وَاتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِهِ آلِهَةً. And they have taken beside them gods. وَلَا تَجْعَلْ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَٰهًا آخَرٍ. Do not set up with Allah another god. Huh? So this was all over the Quran. It's all over the Quran that you should not take another god with Allah. They have taken these as gods. So then the idea is that there are gods that do not have any of the characteristics of Allah. They have no divine characteristics, so they become false. Allah says in Surah Luqman and in Surah Al-Hajj, a verse that is almost the same with a slight variation. Allah says, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْحَقَّ وَأَنَّ مَا يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِهِ الْبَاطِلِ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْعَلِيُّ الْقَبِيرُ. أَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْعَلِيُّ الْكَبِيرُ. He says, that is because verily Allah is the true God in truth. And that which they call upon besides Him are the false gods. And then Allah Azza wa Jalla is the Almighty, the greatest. You see? So Allah taught us in this verse that Allah is the true God, the only true God. Otherwise, the other gods exist in reference to whom? To their worshippers. If you were to ask them, they would tell you, this is my God. So they became gods for them. But they are not gods in truth. Is this clear to everyone? Because I don't want anyone to leave here saying that the brother over there is teaching that there's other gods with Allah. There's La ilaha illallah. Huh? La ilaha illallah. There's no God worthy of worship. That's why we say that, illallah. Because if we don't say that, then the Qurayshis, those who rejected the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, will become Muslims. If we don't have this right definition, right translation, they will be qualified to be Muslims. Because Allah says in the Quran, وَلَئِنْ سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَهُمْ لَيَكُونُنَّ خَلَقَ وَلَئِنْ سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَيَكُونُنَّ اللَّهِ. If you were to ask them, the disbelievers of Quraysh, who created the heavens and the earth, they will say to you, Allah. لَيَكُونُنَّ اللَّهِ. Does that make them believers? No. Because they believed in one aspect of Tawheed, which is the Rububiyyah, the Lordship of Allah. Allah being the creator, the sustainer. But when it came to worship, who did they want to worship with Allah? The false gods. That they claim that they are shufa'a, they are intercessors with Allah. So they did not become among the Muslims because their belief in the worship of Allah alone was not manifested in their statement, La ilaha illallah. So then it is not sufficient to believe that there's only what, that Allah is the only creator, because the Christians believe the same thing, and so do the Jews. Do you think the Jews believe that some statue built the heavens and the earth? That created the heavens and the earth? No. You speak to a Jewish person today, you will think he's a Muslim. He may not eat pork, you don't eat pork. He may read the Torah, you read the Quran. You pray, he prays. Huh? If we don't know this, then one will think that the Jew is also a believer. But he's not. Because of La ilaha illallah. They did not describe Allah in the way that is befitting His majesty. They said that Allah is poor and they are rich. They rejected Allah's messengers. They tried to kill them. So they nullified their tawheed. They did not truly believe in the oneness of Allah. So as a conclusion, there are other gods with Allah that are equal to nothing. And I will give you a worldly example to clarify this, because I think some of the faces are looking at me like they're still shocked. Let's say we have a real teacher, who's a professor, you know, has all the diplomas, all the degrees, all the knowledge that you have. He is a qualified teacher. And the people call him teacher because of these realities. And you have another fake guy. Some guy who doesn't know anything. He prints out a business card And he calls himself Professor whatever, Robin. Huh? Now, what do we call him? Professor. What does he call himself? Professor. What do the people consider him because of his business card? Professor. But if we were to look into his background and look at, take a look at his CV, and we find out that he is not a professor, what do we say? Man, this guy is a false professor. He still calls himself professor, the people consider him as a professor, but he is not a professor because he lacks the criteria. But to the people, he's still called a professor. On his business card, it still says, professor, you cannot change that. So that claim does not make it a reality unless it is backed up by the criteria. And this only belongs to Allah. Only Allah Azza wa Jal has the qualities of the divine being, being our Lord. So everything else which the people consider God is actually a false God. And we don't believe in them. So, La ilaha illallah means there is no God worthy of worship. None really deserves worship except Allah Azza wa Jal. وأن محمد عبده ورسوله, that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Allah's slave and Allah's messenger. May Allah's peace and the blessings be upon him. وإقام الصلاة, establishing prayer. وإيتاء الزكاة, paying زكاة, which is what is known as the obligatory charity. يعني an amount due that you must pay. The Shaykh will explain it. وصيام رمضان والحج, performing حج. فقال رجل الحج والصيام, الحج والصيام رمضان, قال لا, صيام رمضان والحج. So a man said to Ibn Umar رضي الله عنه, is it حج then fasting Ramadan? He said nay, rather it is fasting Ramadan then حج. To mention them in the sequence. هكذا سمعته من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. He said this is how I heard it from the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. واللفظ لمسلم, this is the narration found in Sahih Muslim. Now look at the carefulness of the Sahabi. Now one may say it doesn't matter, we're just mentioning all five, whether you make Hajj before Siyam Ramadan or Siyam Ramadan before Hajj, it doesn't make a difference, you're still mentioning five. He said no, this is how I heard it from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to teach us what? To be careful when we quote the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is a reminder for those who are obsessed with chain emails. You know, you get emails nowadays that puzzle you. You know, information that is not verified in any way, shape or form. Oops. Information that is actually false, fabricated narrations, lies against the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, things that are un-Islamic. And people love to click forward. As soon as he gets an email, forward, and he puts it to everyone on his mailing list. And then you get some emails that you really sit down in front of the screen and say, La ilaha illallah. What is going on in this world? Ya akhi, you will be asked by Allah on the day of judgment about this information that you are forwarding to the Muslims. You must verify. If you don't have knowledge, ask. Alhamdulillah, some of the brothers, they ask. We have some knowledgeable brothers among us. We send an email to them, say, Ya akhi, I received this email. Is this something appropriate which I may propagate or not? Then you ask the people of knowledge, they will tell you they have means of research. They research the hadith. They say this hadith is mawdu', this is a fabrication. You are not allowed now to send it to the Muslims because you're spreading lies against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So my advice to myself and you, be careful in your emails. Don't send everything that comes to you unless you are sure that if Allah will ask you on the day of judgment about the content of this email, you will have no doubt in your mind that everything in it was acceptable, was authentic, and it is part of the teachings of Islam. Otherwise, sending things that just come along and you think that you're doing good, no. If you want to do good, you must do it according to the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They used to be very careful in their quotations. So we learn this from this particular hadith. أما شهادة أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وأن محمد عبده ورسوله فهي الاعتقاد الجازم المعبر عنه باللسان بهذه الشهادة. It is the conviction, the certain conviction that you have in your heart that is expressed through the tongue, that is expressed through the tongue. كأنه بجسمه في ذلك مشاهد له. As if you are seeing that conviction with your own eyes. Yeah, you believe in this so much that there's absolutely no doubt in your mind that la ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as if you can see it in front of you. And the highest level of certainty that we have in this dunya is what? Seeing. When you see something, that is used as the strongest evidence. Shahada. Bearing testimony, bearing witness, being present and seeing with your own eyes. This is unlike the one who doesn't see. And the Prophet ﷺ mentioned this. And this was mentioned among the teachings of Islam. The fact that the one who sees is not similar to the one who does not see. So then, as if you see La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, without no doubt in your mind. وَإِنَّمَا جُعِلَتْ هَذِي الشَّهَادَ رُكْنًا وَاحِدًا مَعْ تَعَدُّدِ الْمَشْهُودِ بِهِ. Then he will enumerate. Now one may ask him, the Shaykh said, but this testimony was made as one pillar. Although it attests to more than one thing. There are two things that you're mentioning, but it's only one shahada. Why? One may think there should be six shahada to bear witness that none is worthy of worship but Allah. One, Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah. Two, established in the salah, and so forth. Why were both testimonies mentioned in one pillar? The Shaykh said, إِمَّا لِأَنَّ الرَّسُولَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ مُبَلِّغٌ عَنِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى فَالشَّهَادَةِ لَهُ بِالْعُبُودِيَّةِ وَرِسَالَةِ مِنْ تَمَامِ شَهَادَةِ أَلَّا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Either because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the bearer of news from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who bears the news, and he one who conveys the message. So his testimony in his obedience and the message is all integrated and an integral part of the shahada of La ilaha illallah. It's included in that. Because he is the one who brought La ilaha illallah. So they are one in essence. وَإِمَّا لِأَنَّ هَذَيْنِ الشَّهَادَتَيْنِ أَسَاسُ صِحَّةِ الْأَعْمَالِ وَقَبُولِهَا. Or the other reason may be because these two testimonies, both are the condition for one's deed to be accepted. You need to have both. Does anyone know the evidence for the fact that there are... What are the two conditions for a deed to be accepted? Muhammad. No. I want the condition. There are two conditions. Now you do one after you come to the masjid, after you perform salah. طيب. There are two conditions that are prerequisites that must be present for Allah to accept this deed of yours. Niyya. Any niyya? Your niyya may be evil. No. Ahsant. For the sake of Allah, ikhlas. Sincerity. Niyya is general. Because the Prophet said, فَمَا كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَمَا كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ لِدُنْيَا يُصِيبُهَا وَامْرَأَةٍ يَنْكِحُهَا فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى مَا هَاجَرَ. In the beginning of the hadith, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. Barely, its deeds are according to intentions. He then divided them. Whosoever migration is for Allah and His Messenger, then his niyyah is for that. And whomever's niyyah is for some worldly gain or to marry a woman, then his niyyah would be, his reward would be according to his niyyah. So niyyah is not enough, because niyyah may be bad. You may have a bad niyyah. So then, what the brother mentions, zaglaqaran, ikhlas, sincerity, good niyyah, ikhlas in your niyyah that you're doing it for the sake of Allah. This is the first condition. Second condition, aywa, al-mutaba'a, following the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because somebody may come and, you must know this, because someone will come and say, ya akhi, I've been really thinking about Salatul Fajr. And I think Salatul Fajr is only two rak'ah, this is not enough. You know, Allah deserves more. I think I'm going to pray Fajr six rak'ahs from now on. Wallahi, I'm doing this for the sake of Allah. I want Allah to be pleased with me. And I want to do it for the sake of Allah. And he goes on saying for half an hour. What do we tell this person? Allah will not accept this from you. You have the first condition, sincerity. But you lack following the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You must follow him the way he did it, you do it. Then and only then, your deed will be accepted. The other example is someone has mutaba'a, he has the way of the Prophet sallam, but he's not doing it in sincerity. For example, giving sadaqah is from the sunnah, right? The Prophet sallam gave sadaqah. You'll be driving your car, And some of these women, may Allah aid them, come and knock on your window, huh? To give her a riyal, give her some money. You have people with you in the car, and there are cars around you. Some people who, may Allah not make us this individual, who lack sincerity, the first thought that comes to mind is what? Huh? Let me show these people how generous I am. So he looks around, you know, make sure that this car is seeing, everybody in the car is seeing. He pull out his pocket, you know, his wallet. You know, he makes sure he separates the money so they can see that he's not giving a riyal or something. You know, he takes a 10 riyals, checks it like that, you know, make sure that it's clean. He opens the window and he gives it to the lady. And then he closes the window. And his intent is what?
Sure.
The people to praise him. MashaAllah, big shaykh. You see, man, he doesn't give like us 1 riyal, he gave it 10 riyals. Now, someone giving 1 riyal with sincerity is far better in the sight of Allah than this person's 10 riyals or even 100 riyals. Because that deed is unaccepted. Allah says, أنا أغنى الشركاء عن الشرك in a hadith Qudsi. I am the most self-sufficient from having partners with me. من عمل عملا أشرك فيه معي غيري تركته وشركة. Whomever does a deed in which he ascribes along with me partners, I will abandon him and his shirk. Notice the hadith says, you do it for the sake of Allah and to be praised. And for the people, not only for the sake of the people. Allah will leave that alone. Allah will not accept that deed. So when you give sadaqah, according to the way of the Prophet Muhammad SAW, you must have sincerity. Actually, the sunnah is that you hide it. Make sure that no one sees you. Then you give the money. So you'll be under those who Allah will shade, under His shade the day that there's no shade, but the shade of Allah. So these are the two conditions. Everybody should memorize them. There are two evidences. The evidence for ikhlas, many. وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. And they were only commanded to worship Allah while being sincere to Him in the religion. And the one that is more precise is the last verse in Surah Al-Kahf. قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ يُوحَى إِلَيَّ أَنَّمَا إِلَهُكُمْ إِلَهٌ وَاحِدٌ فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. What does the end of the verse say? So whomever looks forward to the meeting of his Lord, then let him does righteous deed and associate none in worship with his Lord. That's the evidence for ikhlas. The evidence for the sunnah is the statement of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم from hadith of Aisha, من عمل عملا ليس عليه أمرنا فهو رد. Whomever performs a deed that is not in accordance with this affair of ours will have it rejected. You do something that is not in accordance with the sunnah and you will have it rejected. And you see this comment. Some people, for example, after the salah, they put their hand on their head. And maybe they say, I forgot, somebody told me, Allah, qawi, ya qawi, something along these lines. Ya qawi. Now this particular act, now of course, man, we're not trying to criticize it, but this, alhamdulillah, their intent is to worship Allah. May Allah give them according to their niyyah. May Allah give them according to their intent to worship Allah. But we need to go further into this affair. Let's look at the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad and find out where did this come from. Is there any basis for this particular act? If there is, then all of us should do it. You should not waste on goodness. If there is not, then we should leave it alone. Because when you take an act of worship and you become consistent with it, you do it every time, every day, then you are adding it, you're adding something to the deen of Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not accept that, because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whomever does an action that is not in accordance with this affair of ours will have it rejected. Anywho, we will conclude this particular gathering with this inshallah. In the next week, bi'idhnillah azza wa jal, we will deal with the breaking down of the pillars of Islam and what are the benefits that we reap from them. Salah, how do we benefit? Zakah, how do we benefit? Siyam, Hajj, and what have you. So whatever I said that was wrong is mistake from me, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is innocent from it, and whatever I said that was correct is success given to me by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His ultimate mercy, and we ask Allah to send His peace and His blessings upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik, ashadu an la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.